you know, Jesus is in control. And it's a lot of fun sometimes to just kind of sit back and go, man, I planned and I purposed. And at the end of the day, God did what he wanted to, right?
You're exactly right. And I think the main thing is just that we're intentional about doing training. You know, we have to do that. That's a responsibility we have because, that's, like you said, Steve, that's our job and our role as first priority directors, is to make sure people are equipped and trained and resourced. And then it's up to God to take it from there. So,
working with the local church to take the hope of Christ to every student in the United States, this is First Priority. Now, here are your hosts, Steve Chirico and Brad Skelling.
Hey everybody, welcome to the First Priority Podcast. We are glad that you are here. I have joining me today my good friends Mark Robbins and Steve Chirico. Gentlemen, welcome.
Hey Brad.
Steve. Hello Mr. Brad. Hello Mr. Mark.
You guys, I'm so excited to be here. I hope everybody listens and more excited than you boys are. That's for sure. Well, I'm excited because we're starting a new series. In the podcast, we've been talking about leadership initiatives for the past few weeks. If anybody has not heard some of those, I would strongly encourage you to especially go back and listen to last week's, where we talked about the My SharePal app, training students to share the gospel through strategic questions. And we're going to launch into this new series. We're going to talk about club fundamentals for the next 5, 6, 7 weeks. And we're going to start out today talking about training. Because many places, many people, you don't just have one club. It's not just, I mean, it's pretty simple on a fundamental basis, right? First priority is starting a club. You grab a couple students, you give them an epic manual and find a classroom for them and send them on their way. I mean, that's about as easy as it can get. But when all of a sudden at your church, you have kids from 6 different schools and their friends are involved, from other churches, and we're networking with churches, and all of a sudden there's 30 schools involved, or there's more complicated things happening like that, that many of our chapters have, it becomes a little bit more of an ideal to get the clubs going in the fall. And so we're going to spend a little bit of time today talking about 3 different ways to launch your clubs in the fall and getting the information to those leaders that they need. And so, yeah, should we jump right in?
I think it's a great idea. Let's rock and roll.
Well, on one level here, we've got a large event. So let's just say I threw the number 30 out. Let's just say you got 30, which is about what Tim Bargo has up there in Tri-County, Kentucky, right? And he does a large event every fall. He just calls it a First Priority Rally. And he gathers churches. He holds it on a Wednesday night. He empowers everybody to come, just provides that opportunity for everybody to show up at one event. He trains 200 or 300 students in a 1-hour time block on what they need to do with First Priority in this fall. And yeah, Mark, you've been a part of that. That Tri-County was birthed out of the Tri-States area. And so why don't you speak to that a little bit, what Bargo's doing up there with that event and how he makes that thing successful year in and year out.
Yeah, Brad, that's, you know, it's really interesting because you think about where he's at and where the Tri-States and Tri-County is, it's extremely rural. So just the whole idea that you get, you know, some of those students are going to drive on church buses or whatever, a really good distance to get to something like that. So to be honest with you, when we first tried doing that, you know, it succeeded sometimes. Other times it wasn't so successful. But Tim has done a great job of that. And I think what I would like to point out about that, when you talk about doing a large event on a Wednesday night, that speaks to the relationships that you have with churches and your coaches and your leaders, your adults, for them to prioritize that and, you know, make that a thing that they're going to do on a Wednesday night to be a part of because they see the value in the training and the unity of everything coming together. So the large event is a great way to do this. Certainly get a lot of synergy and excitement out of that. You got kids looking across the gym or the arena going, wow, you know, look at how many of us are doing this in our school. So the large event thing is a great way to do this, creates a lot of momentum going into the school. And but it's really interesting for that to be effective in rural markets because, you know, that's a challenge. So,
you know, Brad, one of the things that we've talked about over, and I'm going to ask for Mark's just feedback on this a little bit. One of the things we've talked about over the podcast over the last 6 to 8 weeks is just the reality that in COVID, we've learned that we are consultants or we are coaches of coaches, right? We are really coaching these youth pastors and these churches up. And when I think about the way that Bargo did that, I think what in the relationships problems that you've mentioned, what Bargo did was he added value to those students and to those churches by providing them some sort of other that went along. So I've spoken at Tim's event before. When I go up there, there is something that draws the students in who may not have realized, hey, I've got a burden for my campus. They just didn't know what they didn't know, right? But then Bargo provides a thing that adds value to the local church global, which then, you know, goes down to funnels down to adding to the local youth pastor and the local student. And now he's got a captured audience. And that's really, I think, where the big event has been successful, Bargo, is he's created something where he's captured an audience and then said, by the way, the reason you're really here is you are called to your campus. Oh, I didn't know I was called to my campus. Well, what do I do about it, right? And Robbins, you can probably speak on that a little bit and how he created that movement.
Well, that's true. And, you know, you even think about it, and you guys know this. I mean, he has kids come to Christ at that event, you know, so there's kids just showing up because, hey, it's a big event. I'm, you know, going with my school or my friends are going. So, yeah, that the value is the right word, Steve, because you're, you know, everybody sees that, man, this is important. This is going to empower our students. This is going to motivate our students. They're going to get resources and ideas and how-tos that they can take back into their campus and reach their friends. So great environment.
Correct. Well, and the thing I'll say to the, especially the new people listening, is that this is a 15-year journey that he's taken because I've also been able to speak at his event. And he does a breakout for teachers where he just invests into them. And at the rally that Steve's mentioning, which is kind of, you know, he does the training first and then does a rally. So that really does get a wider, where he has 1,000 kids and adults coming to the rally afterwards. But then he has a room for teachers at the rally where they can go and get some snacks, and he invests into them that night. So they are valued, they are appreciated. He does the same thing for coaches, you know, and even for students, and for all of them, they need to remember that, hey, just because we're, you know, doing this again doesn't mean you don't have something to learn. And that's one of his biggest battles, is to say, hey, I've had coaches or teachers for 15 years and they don't feel like they need to come. Well, that freshman kid that you're bringing for the first time needs to come, and you need to be with them walking through this. That's what it means to be a coach. So having that event kind of is that bookmark for him, really, to anchor that next year and to push forward again. And he's just done a great job over the course of time continuing to build that. He worries over that, he frets over it, he calls all of us several times asking who he needs to bring in and how he needs to do it, because he cares about it so much. And because he cares about it, it really does a great job of kicking off his school year.
That's absolutely right.
That's good. Keeping it fresh is a challenge for sure.
That's right. That's right. Well, let's talk about the next way to train. So if the big event isn't what you've got for this year, another way that we see several places do that, Mark, you mentioned this earlier, that Tri-State's trained by county. Steve, you and I have trained by counties here in Nashville, more you than me, but now Justin's going to take that and continue to do that. You know, 5 trainings in 5 counties. Let's talk about that a little bit. What does that look like for you here in Nashville?
Well, I admit, I'd love to hear Robin's perspective of the historical side of it, and then I'd love to jump in on what we're doing this summer just to compare.
Yeah, that's great. You know, when you say by county, you know, the first thing that comes to mind for me is you're going to them. You know, you're making this easy, you're making it really accessible. In fact, you know, as when we branched out into that, and one of the reasons we shifted that gear, we used to do the big event in the arena here at Lincoln Memorial University, and you know, had a lot of big name people in there and bands and things, and it was huge. But then we started to see a falling away of that a little bit. So back to our last conversation, how do we keep this thing moving? How do we keep it fresh? How do we keep it working? And so we went to the bi-county model, which at that point, you don't have 300 students in an arena. You got maybe 7 schools with, you know, 3 to 5 students and a coach and a teacher. So your crowds, you know, you can literally fit in a classroom nearly. So the environment's a little different, but the impact and the effects of it were still the same in terms of, you know, being able to pour into the students and encourage them and get them motivated to do that. So the big wins for the doing it by county is, you know, you're just there. It's very easy for them to get to and be a part of you. Your cost is extremely lower doing it that way. So, you know, if you're starting out and you're on a tight budget or something, that may be the right way to approach it out of the gate. But as Brad mentioned, it's one of those things you got to grow into, but you got to be flexible. Because like I said, we were big event. Then we went back to doing it by county because the big event just in the area I was in at the time just sort of started falling off a little bit. So we had to think outside the box a little bit.
It's good. And I would jump on that and say for us locally, the bi-county win has been both on the training side and on the relationship side in terms of managing donors and partners. And so this year in coaching Justin, one of the things I've asked him to do is, okay, here's my list of anchor churches that are in Rutherford County and Williamson County and Davidson, which are a few of our counties, right? That's who I want you to go to and say, I want you to partner with us. Because one of the areas that I can manage costs is if I don't have to pay for facility and I don't have to pay for AV and I don't, right? I can manage a lot of costs with an organization that already buys into us financially. And so one of the areas by county for us has been neat is watching our anchor churches that invest dollars also now invest facilities and time. And what it's done for Justin is it's been, he's allowed to then get that off his plate. And now he's just focused on relationships. How do I make sure that if the anchor church is a non-denom, but very more like Baptist church, right, in one of the counties, how do I make sure that the other churches feel comfortable to come do their training? And that really goes down to the students and their conversations and the youth pastor network that he's created. And to my good fortune, Justin is excellent at that. And so we've got our county trainings all set on one weekend where the coaches are going to help run each of these trainings. And that's really where Justin is investing, is on these coaches. Now, Mark, I'm sure you've experienced this. Here's the big aha moment for me. So youth groups show up from their church, but they all go to different schools outside of that youth group. So they show up to this different church and they start looking around at the other youth group and they're like, oh my gosh, these are my classmates.
Yeah.
And so you get four or five or six of those local churches that are showing up. And now all of a sudden they start dispersing instead of being with their youth group. And now the four or five, six schools you're training for, everybody's got this big aha. Like, I had no idea that you were a Christian. Well, yeah, because you look at it this way, I look at it that way, and we just never talked about it. We just,
right.
So there's yep. so many neat, what I would call where God winks at the students and winks at the campus coaches, where Bi County really does serve a local movement in that county so well.
Yep. You brought up a good point too, Steve, about, you know, someone being there in that area that maybe they're don't really know what First Priority is, or they're not sure about it. This is a great way to get them to just swing into something that's right in their neighborhood, you know, come check it out, see what we're doing, see how this really works. And I remember a few occasions where we, I'll use the word once, some youth pastors and churches over because they show up at this because, well, it's in my area and you guys are here, I'll come check it out. And it's like, wow, I didn't realize this is how things worked. Or so it's another bonus to that.
Now, Brad, I admit this year for our team with our bi-county trainings, we are doing a worship set, the same worship set at all of them, approved by the locals campus coaches so that it very much fits everybody's backgrounds. We've got the same trainer at each one, which will be Justin, along with one of the local coaches. They'll work together on it. And we have a moment of ice breaking and fun, right? So there is some youth group things that the youth pastors are already professionals at anyway, that they're doing to be a part of it, right? We're not asking them to come and just come and spectate, right? We're asking the youth pastors that are the coaches, no, come and run this, come and own it, which just then does trickle down to our language, which is that campus, that's not First Priorities, right? That's that's Rutherford County's network that is working together. And by the way, you're the point person there that's training and coaching the students. So there's a lot of ownership that we do on purpose, but through the bi-county trainings.
Sure.
That's awesome. That's really good.
And that kind of segues into the last philosophy that we're going to talk about today. And that's one that we see primarily down in South Florida with Chris Lane, Fred Revelle. They've got people who are in charge of counties and even sections of counties. So you take in their situation, a Broward County, you know, where Luke is in charge of the whole county, but he's got four guys in his network that are in charge of different areas. Cause there's 150 schools in Broward County now down there by Fort Lauderdale, Miami. It's just insane, right? You get into those situations. Yeah. And so what they do is bring everybody, they set a date in August, usually one of the first weeks in August, they bring all of those people in who are in charge of sections of their area, and they train them on what's going to happen this fall, to the point where they then go and train the coaches in that area. So Chris and Fred don't have to be in all of those counties. They kind of break that down. I mean, it's a little bit of a different animal. We're going to train our core team. Yeah. We're going to train our core team. The core team is going to go out and train their people. And then in all actuality, they take the first 4 weeks of club and train each week. So here's equip week. We're going to do that the first week. We're going to train you on to do it. It's not going to be the students leading it the first time. We're going to just use it as a training ground. Prepare week, invite week, connect week. And so they walk through that first month, and they'll openly admit they start that first week of August. And by the time that level is down and they make sure everybody gets trained, their clubs don't launch until see you at the pole, the end of September, just like everybody else. I always, you know, kind of assumed early on that, hey, they're launching in August and they're kicking off right at the beginning of the school year. And they're like, no, we've got a 6 to 8 week window where we are just training and we're trying to be strategic, that multiplication effect, right? Just like what the biblical sense of that. But we want that to get down and bleed into all of our clubs. So we're all on the same page. We're all excited about what's going on. We all know what's expected of us. And we want to see a lot of people come to know Jesus. And they really do that way. It's a really cool opportunity and way to go about that.
And Brad, if I could give an encouragement from the, you know, kind of the ground and the front lines of that, I think one of the things that I don't want to say forget, but we're a strategy, right? We're an on-purpose strategy. So there is a little bit of logic that goes in with what we're doing. I'm doing this because it equals that. And there have been a number of times that I've done a training for 6 or 7 schools, and our team's been there and our coach has been there and they've been locked in, and we walk out of there and the school that I thought was going to launch the strongest struggled. Right? Mm-hmm. And the school that only had 3 kids show up and the campus coach forgot to come. And I thought, dear Jesus, I'm going to be spending 6 to 8 weeks trying to fix this school. They had people come to Christ, multiple people come to Christ the very first week that they shared the gospel. Right? So the other part of this, as people are praying for their trainings and as they are logistically looking through them, is we do have to remember there is a little bit of taste of the supernatural in what we do. And then we're not in control, right? We do the right things. So the strategy launches and then we trust God. And the areas where things fall, that's why we exist and why we get paid to do what we do, hopefully, right? Is that we go pick it up. Right. But I hate to take the Lord out of it and just the fact that, you know, Jesus is in control. And it's a lot of fun sometimes to just kind of sit back and go, man, I planned and I purposed and at the end of the day, God did what he wanted to, right? And I'm sure every coordinator, every staffer who's listening to this has some moments like that where they could share a testimony like that.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And I think, you know, when the main thing is just that we're intentional about doing training. I think, you know, we have to do that. That's a responsibility we have because that's, like you said, Steve, that's our job and our role as first priority directors is to make sure people are equipped and trained and resourced, and then it's up to God to take it from there. So
what do you do if people don't show up to your training events and you have that situation, like you just said, Steve, where you had 3 kids and no coach or no sponsor or something like that? What do you do? How do you follow up in those situations?
I'd love to hear what Mark did all his years.
Yeah.
Mark, what'd you guys do?
Yeah, well, historically what we've done is, you know, we just made sure everyone got trained at least, hopefully the goal was at least one adult that knew what was going on and what was supposed to be happening. And sometimes that would just be a school teacher, you know, in rural markets, there weren't as many youth pastors to go around. So you had guys coaching two schools, sometimes three. So, but, you know, in our case, we always had a dry race grid thing on the wall. And every year, you know, we listed all the schools out. They've got to get trained. We're doing them by county. They're listed by county. Guys come back in after doing the training. Well, hey, you know, this middle school, this high school, and this middle school weren't represented. So then that fell back on the responsibility of, in our case, the coordinator, area person, to go back, make contact with those leaders and say, hey, you know, understand you guys missed, you weren't able to be there, but we want to spend some time with your leadership team because of new things that are coming out, maybe some new things they need to be aware of in terms of legal, whatever that was. There's always a purpose and a reason we're doing training. So making sure we went back. So in our case, the box had to get checked. You know, sometimes the director would come back in, there a guy would come in and say, you know what, I've busted my tail. And I finally got the teacher and the campus coach in the room after school. And I trained him, you know, kind of thing. And
nice.
Exactly right. That's good. Same goes for us. Follow up. We would just do follow up. Letting it go was never an option, is not an option, right? It just isn't.
Yep.
Now, God closes the door. We'll be obedient to that. But just letting it go because, you know, we're too busy or we haven't identified it, that was never an option. We're going to work it through and we're going to work really hard for the sake of the gospel to make sure that we do everything we can for that group to exist on campus. Because I believe, and I know you guys do as well, every campus in my area needs this. It needs the body of Christ united on it. Forget about all the adult agendas. For the sake of the students on those campuses, every one of them needs this opportunity.
Yep.
I agree. Let me throw this out there just as a little nugget for some folks that are listening. You know, one of the reasons this is so important is even after doing this for a number of years, it always amazed me at how many times year after year, an adult leader or even a student leader would come up and have that moment where they finally realized what the role of their faculty sponsor was or what the role of a coach was and that kind of thing, you know? So it's those moments too, when you realize, man, you got to keep doing this because you got new students, you got new leaders coming in, but the First Friday Club is in its sweet spot when that those student leaders understand they have to own this. This is their ministry God's given to them and the role of their coach, what his or her responsibility is to helping them succeed and the teacher. So I think that's a real important thing when it comes to training is making sure that's out there because it just makes the club work better. It makes everyone understand, you know, who's dropping the ball if that's the case. And so training is critical.
Clarity is king.
Yeah, man.
That's right. That's right. Well, and a tool for that that you caused me to think about is our 5-star club evaluation. If you get on firstparty.club/resources, you'll see that in there. If you want to know, you know, what it means to be a campus coach in just a short bullet form, that's on there. Teacher sponsors, you know, running the club cycle, things of that nature. It's also in our Dropbox. If you're one of the city staff members, you can get into that as well. And that's just a really good tool to bring clarity as well. If people don't know, you know, it's a new student, freshman student, we maybe have been around for 5 or 8 or 15 years and just kind of doing it again, but not everybody's just doing it again. So let's make sure that those things are spoken out loud so that, you know, people know what to expect from each other and we can work together as a team. So it's very cool.
True.
Well, thank you both for joining us today on this very insightful, very fundamental club podcasts, getting a First Party Club trained, getting the leadership trained for this school year. We're coming out of COVID. We're hearing great things from all of our networks, and we're really excited to see what God does this fall in reopened schools. And so thank you both for joining us today and being a part of this.
Thanks, Brad. Good to see you,
Brad. Steve. Good to see you, Mark. Thank you, sir.